I was at Dragon Con last weekend, and I have the badge ribbons to prove it. Plus, Hollow Knight Silk Song is out and makes a case for digital pre-orders. Tonight is September 7th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. Back after 2 weeks. Nothing goes wrong at all when I am live, I promise. If you're in chat, don't tell the podcast audience what happened. Anyway, hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, although I will not be here, I believe, in like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. The last Sunday in September, I'm going to see Weird Al at a big music festival, and he's performing on Sunday night, and I'm going to go. So I won't be here in a couple weeks, but I'm going to be here until then. So you're stuck with me for the rest of the month, at least. But we do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night right then, just before Orange Lounge Radio. So you can come join us live, interact with the show directly. But like I said, this is a podcast. You might be listening to this on the podcast or on a VOD. Hello to you, too. We do have a Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can go throughout the week to talk to us and send us articles and things that you think that we should talk about or talk back to about something that we've talked about on here on the show. So... thank you so much for being here. We were off last week. Both myself and Rob were here in Atlanta. Rob flew in. I rode the train down. Our subway system, whatever you want to call it here in Atlanta, it basically makes a big plus. And if you're not, it's not good to go anywhere outside of that plus. But luckily, Dragon Con is right on that is right there near the middle of the plus sign that our train system makes, so I can ride it there. So let's talk about Dragon Con before we get into the news, which is really about one game. But it was really interesting watching the internet blow up about this game in multiple ways while I was coming back from Dragon Con and dealing with all that. But let's talk about Dragon Con here in Atlanta. A bunch of people in chat have noticed, because there is a video feed, that I am wearing a shirt that I got from one of the vendors. There actually is now a retail vendor, online vendor, whose entire shtick is they basically make Dragon Con memes real and will give them to you if you give them money. And so I actually have like this nice like button down shirt in the sense of the carpet. So if you're joining us for the first time and you don't know what Dragon Con is, or if you're joining us for the first time because you met me at Dragon Con, welcome. Hi. I do talk about video games. We'll get into video games in about 10 minutes or so. And Esther and Matt says that is some gimmick. And you know what? It works, because they've got... So the place that I got this shirt, their actual name, they're called the Drunken Dragon Hotel. And essentially, their whole gimmick is they sell things that have memes from Dragon Con, or they have like dice towers where you put your dice in, your D20, and it goes through the tower and it rolls it instead of you rolling it. And they're in the shape of all the host hotels here in Atlanta. They actually have a pin where they make like parodies of other things, and in fact, I've got one. I don't have the pin itself, but I have the booklet that came with it, because Dragonland is the happiest con on Earth, and it actually came with this little booklet that talks about all of the talks about things here at Dragon Con and make jokes about that. I got this shirt from them. They make earrings. They make other the shirts like they make our hockey or not our hockey. We don't have hockey here. I don't know what hockey is. Our soccer team, they actually made a variation of our soccer team's jersey with the carpet pattern on it. And it's sponsored by Stark Industries and stuff. It's cool. That's where I got this shirt. So there's a lot of that stuff going around. But DragonCon, it's a big pop culture convention. I say pop culture because it's everything. It's like the Reddit of convention. When I say the Reddit of conventions, I mean it is like the structure of Reddit and not necessarily the people of Reddit, because I know there's a lot of things wrong with a lot of the people on Reddit, and there's a lot of things great about the people on Reddit. But think about it, the structure is 30 different conventions in one, and not all of those sub-conventions talk to each other. So you will never be able to do everything at Dragon Con. So I was there, and I've been going for a while. I even have a piece. So the carpet meme, I say the Marriott carpet. So you're obviously, if you're listening to the podcast and you have no clue what this looks like, imagine the most hideous carpet pattern you can think of. And that's what Marriott put in their hotel in downtown Atlanta sometime in the early 2000s. It is kind of a circle pattern with other colors in it. And what Marriott does is they replace the carpet in their hotels every 10 to 15 years. So it was always meant to only be there for 10 to 15 years. And right before they tore it away, some cosplayers decided they were going to make carpet camo because everybody hated this pattern. It was hideous. Nobody liked it. And then these cosplayers made this carpet camo, and they actually took pictures of them actually like blending in with the carpet. And everybody was like, oh, that's so great. That's so cool, you know. And then they sure were like, yeah, we're going to sell the pattern. And Marriott's like, cease and desist. You can't sell this pattern. So then it became kind of a thing. Because whenever you tell a bunch of nerds you can't do something, they go crazy with it. And so they changed out the carpet for a different carpet pattern. There actually is one place in the hotel in the offices that still has the original carpet, and they do sometimes let some people in there. But other than that, everybody now loved the carpet suddenly right after they got rid of it, and so they went dumpster diving, and I actually have a piece of the carpet that was somewhere in the lobby back in the backside here. Brad from Pod Culture also has a piece of the carpet as well. There was a vendor still selling some pieces that were dumpster dived of the carpet. There's still some available that are like in little frames. They're actually smaller than the version I've got there because there's not that many left. So yeah, so that's what the carpet. So I've got a shirt that's got the carpet pattern. It's hideous. It's a hideous carpet pattern. All of them are, but it becomes a thing. There are fixations at Dragon Con that make no sense. You know, we could talk about FedEx John under his googly eye. Please sign here. That was a whole thing. That was, you know, a FedEx advertisement that was in one of the skyways that people put googly eyes on, and then FedEx started trying to take it away. And that was when you couldn't. That was when it started, is, you know, FedEx tried to mess with the con, and the con pushed back. It's a great time to if you go all in on the culture. If you just go and you're like, I'm just going to go to the dealer hall and I'm going to leave, you're not experiencing what Dragon Con actually is. That may be good enough for you. Or if you go just for the parade, you don't even need a ticket for the parade. That's great too, but that's not everything that Dragon Con is. So before I get to what I actually did, because I was actually able to work with Dragon Con pretty closely with main events, I do want to talk about the story that went around on the last day and kind of set the record straight a little bit about what happened. And Pod Culture brought it up in chat, but you probably saw all over social media about the AI artist that got booted from Dragon Con. So let's talk about what actually happened there, because people are like, well, that's kind of heavy-handed, and it shouldn't be illegal to sell AI art. And here's the thing. It's not illegal to sell AI art, and they're like, they shouldn't have called the cops on him. Well, good news. They didn't technically call the cops on them, technically. So let me tell you what happened with the AI art vendor. So there is a building that is part of the Dragon Con campus. It's blocked down from the hotels. There's four stories. Three stories are your vendor hall, and the fourth story is your artist alley. So comics and pop culture artist alley. This is different from the art show, which is a juried art show in a different part of the convention. This is in Artist Alley. Confused yet? Great. So anyway, we're up on the fourth floor. And in order to get, there is a long waiting list. There are people that have been waiting 10 years for a spot to open up in the Dragon Con vendor hall. That is how competitive it is to get in. And the same on the Artist Alley. So they actually take applications for getting into the Artist Alley because they want to make sure that, you know, your type of stuff is going to be something that can be profitable at the convention because they want to fill that Artist Alley with people, with stuff that people will buy. So, as part of this, you have to actually send in representative, you know, images of your art that you will be selling at the convention. And they vet it and they look at it and they're like, great, cool. So that's what the person did. And they showed up on load-in day, which was Thursday, and they hung up the art that they sent to the Artist Alley application process and they got in. Then on Friday, and I will say the contract does say that you must acknowledge that you're not using generative AI to make your art. You have to, you know, you have to sign and initial that. So and to be fair, in that application, the art that was in the application was not made using generative AI art. So the person who's actually the artist never shows back up. So, and this is actually from the artist that was to the next to that booth. So, they were in one booth and this was an artist in the other booth. So the woman, I believe, who was the original artist, never shows back up. There were other people helping her set up her booth. But on Friday, one of the helpers was now the only person in the booth and took down her art that they applied for. And put his own up. That was not part of the application. It was not part of anything. But you know what? Subleasing happens all the time of these booths because of that 10-year waiting period. In fact, I have a friend who legitimately has is in the vendor hall, and it's not his booth. He is subleasing it from somebody else. Basically, they have a double-sized booth, and he takes up one place, and this the person who actually owns the booth has the other half. So that's not that's technically not against the rules. So, but the art that was for sale starting Friday was not the same art that was in the application. And there were people thinking it might have been done by generative AI. So it was reported to the Artist Alley staff, and they needed to make absolutely sure that this person breached the contract, which is why, even though they were notified on Saturday and there were people from the Artist Alley from Dragon Con management that were around the booth taking a look at things on Saturday and Sunday, nothing happened. What I believe he was doing was this: the artist was taking commissions and said, come back Monday and I will have your commission, because probably he was going home, firing up Midjourney, creating the art, printing it out, and then giving it to them. So on Monday morning, he shows up late, and basically then Artist Alley, people there saying, hey, you're within breach of contract, you need to leave. And he says, no. He actually tells Dragon Con, I am not leaving. I have a right to be here. I am making money. You can't kick me out. I will not leave. So, since they told him to leave and he said he wasn't, now he is legally trespassing. So, Dragon Con staff can't do anything about that. However, because this is a convention that has 75,000 people, of course Dragon Con has paid members of the Atlanta Police Department to be on site. And we're not going to talk about police good, bad, or anything like that. But know that Dragon Con does pay members of the Atlanta Police Department to be in uniform, working as police inside their private venue, to work with the security venue, the event security that is already on site, and work with the volunteers that work with work with the convention. Okay. So nobody called the police in, because that's what people are like. They were heavy-handed. They called the police in to remove the artist. Well, they didn't call the police in to remove somebody for selling AI art. They called the police that were literally already there in the building working for Dragon Con. So not paid for by, like, they were on duty, but not really paid for completely by taxpayer dollars. they brought in and said, you are trespassing. That is against the law. He wasn't kicked out for AI art. The police did not escort him out because he was selling AI art. The police escorted him out because Dragon Con told him to leave and he refused. Now, was he arrested? No. They simply made him pack up all his stuff and get all his stuff. They didn't confiscate anything and escorted him out of the building. And once he was out of the building, the police were gone. So nobody called the police on someone for selling AI art. The police that were already there were called in because he was deemed as a trespasser because Dragon Con asked him to leave and he refused. And instead of volunteers and event security that could theoretically be sued for assault if they did try to physically remove him, they called the police to make sure that he left. So they called security. That security just happened to also be part of the Atlanta Police Department. So I understand people probably think it's heavy-handed. All he was doing was selling art, but he took a legitimate opportunity away from a legitimate artist who's probably waited years to get into the Dragon Con Artist Alley. And that's a shame. So that's what happened with the AI art dude. And then, as Dragon Con does, the fixations, there was now a shrine in his empty booth, and you've probably seen those pictures about him being removed for selling AI images. And, you know, people sharing notes of, you know, how crappy that person is. And S. Jared O'Matt says, needless to say, that person is banned from having a booth again. I imagine the person who had the original space is also in trouble. And that's the thing. I don't even think they really know who that dude is. They might. I don't know. I'm not privy to any of that stuff, even though I do kind of work closely with a portion of Dragon Con. I don't know anything about this. I am not speaking on behalf of any kind of convention for this. I literally don't know. So, they know who the original artist was, whose name was on the booth, who was there the first day. She was there. She was on site and her art was put up and then it was replaced. So that's the AI art story. It all went down on Monday because Dragon Con needed to make absolutely sure he was in breach of contract. And that booth was determined to be in breach of contract. So he can try to sue Dragon Con all he wants. And he's got nowhere to go. And so Dragon Con doing their due diligence and not acting sooner, which some people are like, why didn't you act sooner if you knew on Saturday he was selling AI art? They weren't 100% sure until Monday morning that he was selling AI art. And they were he was in breach of his contract with Dragon Con. And he basically that booth lied on their application. So there's your sad story. Happy story. And other conventions now have taken a stand that they're not going to allow generative AI art to be sold in their artist alley, which I am good with. I am very good with that. And there is probably nuance and arguments that can be made about, well, what if they use generative AI as a tool to augment their existing art? And that is a more nuanced conversation that I am not equipped to have. However, this person was literally just typing prompts into Midjourney or whatever he was using and printing it out, which that's not an artist to me. That's a producer. Because I was thinking about this recently about, like, you know, well, you know, somebody's like, oh, I make music. I'm a musician because I have AI art or I have AI generating my music. So I'm a musician. And I actually say to that, no, you aren't a musician. You are a music producer. Because that's what a music producer does, is they take the music made by usually someone else, but in this case, let's use something else, and then packages it for consumption. And so there are no people who are like, I'm a musician because I use AI. No, you're a music producer. So maybe that's the thing. Maybe we don't call him an AI artist. We call him an art producer, where he takes the art created by someone else and packages it, and people will buy it. Mike Dev says, what I hope is other conventions, big or small, don't let this person appear, even as an attendee. So, and Bonds 006 says, there's a backlog in New York City for some of their Comic Cons and food trucks, backlog of license being given to people, wait times and stuff. So people rent out their trucks for food trucks. So he was talking about food trucks, not necessarily conventions, but like there's only a limited amount of licenses for food trucks in New York City. And so people will sublet their license and sell other people's food in there. And Tiger Claw says, they don't make music, the hardware does, you are the composer. And he's not, so I actually take umbrage to that, and we're going to go back to the music conversation here. Because I wrote music, and I considered myself a musician when I was writing video game music, even though the computer made all the sounds. And I programmed the computer, I was the composer of the music, but I composed the actual notes. I was like, this is the chord progression, I was actually like coding in, you know, I was actually handwriting what all the drum parts were and things like that. An AI musician is more, make me a song, they write out in text, make me a song that sounds like Nine Inch Nails, but it's about this, and then it spits it out, and then they put it up on Spotify and say they're a musician. They're a music producer. A music producer works with something, usually someone, something that composes and records the music. So, anyway, this is not an AI podcast. I don't want to get into this today. So let's talk about Dragon Con. Let's talk about what I was able to do. So I was part of main programming at Dragon Con. And that means that I was actually working with some celebrities. One of the panels that I had, the Mortal Kombat one, got canceled because it was on Monday. And then apparently, and I think I'm allowed to say this, when they sent in their flight schedules to Dragon Con, they're like, oh, your flight leaves at 2 in the afternoon. That means you're not going to be here for the 1 p.m. panel. So I didn't get to do that one. But I did get to meet the God of War. So Christopher Judge, 25 minutes late to his panel, by the way. Apparently, celebrities being late was really bad this year. And I know that Dragon Con's like, we need to figure out why so many celebrities were late this year. But Christopher Judge showed up over here. And I was able to chat with him about God of War for about 45. They let us go a little bit longer. And it's funny, my name is on Getty Images because a Getty Images photographer was in the room taking pictures of Christopher Judge. And it's close up to him, but my nameplate is blurred out underneath. It's kind of cool. So I did the first of four panels that Christopher Judge was doing here. And I told the audience, hey, this is the God of War panel because I'm like, I love Stargate. And I could listen to him talk about Stargate for days. But we only had the 1 hour. This was the only time he was going to talk God of War. It was the only time he was going to talk Kratos. And so I and the audience very much helped out on that. It was a full room in, if you've been to Dragon Con before, it's Centennial 1, Hyatt Centennial 1. So it's a smaller room. It has about 400, 500 chairs. It's not the big Centennial. I get that one later. But we went in. She showed up, and I introduced him up after 25 minutes. And talk to him about God of War. And see, here's the thing. He's also not a voice actor. And he actually says, I am not a voice actor. And he actually very much takes issue with being called a voice actor because he says he only has one voice, deep. And there are so many talented voice actors that can do multiple voices that he can't do that he does not feel like he fits the voice actor mold. But God of War, it was performance capture. So it was kind of like when you've heard me talk about Red Dead Redemption and Grand Theft Auto and what Rockstar does. That's what Sony did as well. Sony Santa Monica is that they needed a big dude. It wasn't the voice. It was they needed someone huge like Christopher Judge and his massive arms. So he was not just the voice of Kratos. He was Kratos. And even one of the questions was when Kratos had to carry Atreus, what were you doing? He's like, I was carrying Atreus. The actual, like, 10-year-old boy that was in all the ping pong balls playing his son. So, you know, that was all in there. So Kratos is just a deeper version of his normal voice. And we did have him say a couple things. But he was a joy to talk to, has stories that can go on for days. We actually were able, Dragon Con allowed us to go 10 minutes over because he was 25 minutes late. So we were actually able to go up until 2:10 instead of the 2 o'clock when we were supposed to stop. There is no video recording of it officially. However, so many people had their phones out the whole time And not a single one of you have posted it up to TikTok yet or YouTube or anything. So I am searching and I am waiting for one of y'all's fan cams of the God of War panel, because I would love to you know, share it with people. So if any of you, like 50 people that I saw, I didn't see your face, I saw your phone, post that up. I'd love to see it. So was able to talk with the God of War. He was really great. He was fun. And a bunch of Kratos just rushed the stage, Kratos cosplayers. So he took a bunch of pictures, and that's where I got the selfie. Technically, I'm not allowed to ask for selfies as the moderator because I'm going to be professional. But if everybody else was going to do it, I did it. And my wife even got a selfie with him. So that was cool. The other thing that I did with main programming was I did get to talk with the cast of The Magicians, which is a show that was on Sci-Fi Channel and Netflix, and it ran for 5 years. They two of them showed up on time, two of them showed up on time. The two guys, if you watch the show, it was Josh and Elliot. Those are their character names. Trevor Einhorn plays Josh. He also played the younger, he played Frasier's kid in the original Frasier, but he was not cast as Frasier's kid in the reboot. We didn't talk about that at all. We didn't bring that up. But then Margot, who is Summer Bischel, she showed up about 20 minutes in, and then Julia, who is Stella Maeve, she showed up 30 minutes in. So they finally showed up, and we were finally able to talk Magicians. It was a fun panel. That was actually in one of the big rooms. That was in, if you've been there before, that's in Centennial 2 and 4, which is like the second biggest room at the convention. The Marriott Atrium is the biggest room in the convention. So, but they were fun to talk to, and we talked about them doing their finger tutting, because that's how they cast spells in the Magician's world, and lots of great stuff. They actually sang, because there's several musical episodes of the Magicians, and so I was like, y'all should do an 80s cover album and sell it at next year's DragonCon. They're like, yes, let's do it. So so that those are the two things that I did, and I got to talk to them a little bit after. Went over to the Celebrity Petting Zoo and talked to some of them. They were all very lovely and very sweet and everything. So that was my Dragon Con, the official stuff. I also did a speed run. I also did some speed running there. I didn't speed run. Well, I did speed run, actually. I did Silent Hill 4 The Room. I didn't do Silent Hill 4 The Room. I moderated Silent Hill 4 The Room. I'm also trying to see if I had a picture of it, but I don't have the picture of it up, so that's fine. I have a picture. I just don't have it set up to show you on OBS. But I invited An Eternal Enigma to come up, and we ran Silent Hill 4 The Room on Saturday night. We had a half-full room, and for the first time ever, the game crashed. Enigma has never had Silent Hill 4 crash in any of the many, many years that he's run the game. And it crashed. And since it never crashes, he had no safety saves. So we redid the first 20 minutes, because that's when it crashed. And we started making safety saves. And then it crashed again. And then we kept playing through safety saves. It did crash again. And we finally got through it. And then I did a speed run of Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, showed everybody how to do the credits warp, which is a very, very easy speed run. I've actually done it on this podcast before. Did it on stage. Everybody loved it. Everything was great. What wound up happening, though, what we learned is that a recent Windows update, which came out a couple weeks ago, broke Silent Hill 4 The Room. And if you roll back that very specific update, it doesn't crash anymore. The cutscenes aren't bad. There was some weirdness going on, and it was a very recent Windows update. So we thought it was the GOG version, because he was playing the GOG version that had a patch. Like, it was one of those compatibility patches. Remember when we were talking about GOG doing that? Playing Silent Hill 4 The Room on PC right now is borked if you have one of the latest patches. So Enigma finally figured all that out after the fact, and experience is what you get just after you need it. But we were able to make it through, and he was playing, yes, on Windows 11. He hasn't tried Windows 10. We're not going to do that type of investigation on Konami's behalf. It is Konami, right? That's their job, not ours. But we did isolate what, you know, so once you roll back that one specific KB update, then Silent Hill 4 doesn't crash anymore. So fun to learn that on stage, huh? But it went really well. Hopefully people liked it enough and rated it in the app so we can come back and maybe do some other stuff that maybe doesn't crash as much. That would be great. So I was able to do that stuff. That was a lot of fun. And also I got to meet a lot of people at Dragon Con. And if I met you at the digital media track, at either any of the networking mixers that I went to there or on the 20th anniversary panel that I did, welcome. Thank you for checking out the show. The one last thing that I wanted to share from Dragon Con, one of the other things that I bought, this was not from the same place I got this shirt, but one of the vendors there is a company called Controller Chaos, and what they do is they reskin controllers. And they sell a bunch of reskin controllers. They're a lot more expensive than your normal controllers, but what they do is they take an off-the-shelf retail controller and basically paint the outside of it. And this was the last one that they had. But I now have a Marriott Carpet Xbox One Xbox Series X controller. So there you go. I was wanted to share that we were able to pick this one up. So now I have a Marriott Carpet Xbox controller. Pod culture is jealous right now, maybe. And yes, he says need. Unfortunately, this literally was the last one. This was the one that was in the display case. And they're like, yep, that's it. Once it's gone, it's gone. I'm like, can I give you money? They're like, yes, we would love your money. And so they pulled it out of the case and gave it to me. And a couple years ago, we actually bought the Dragon Con themed Xbox and PlayStation controllers. So, but that was Xbox One X controller. It was not an Xbox Series. No, it was an Xbox Series X. Yeah, it was an Xbox Series controller. It had the extra button in the center. Anyway, that was my Dragon Con. Our hotel room is booked for next year, so we'll be back next year. Hopefully, I will still continue to be part of main programming. Next year is the 40th anniversary, so if you want to come to a Dragon Con, this is going to be the one. It is the 40th anniversary, and if you think the math doesn't math, realize that the first convention is number one, not number zero. So yes, while the first convention was in 1987, the 40th one is in 2026, because that's how math works. Yeah, and Questbush says, I caught part of Enigma's stream after he came back from Dragon Con. He talked about that segment. He was so nervous when it happened, but it was also such an incredible time in sharing the speedrun, too. That was kind of my part in all this, because I was trying to keep the room positive, and everybody was positive. And yes, there were people that left, like the game crashed and people left, and I understand that. I get it. It's, you know, time is valuable, but there was a lot of people that stayed. The room was basically at 50% capacity the whole time, which it's a room that has like 300, 400 chairs. So like we had over 100 people in that room. And yeah, and SJR and Matt says hotels for next year are sold out already, right? No. Some hotels already have like legacies. Some hotels do like legacy things. So that's how we already have our room. And it's literally the same room every year. We've been in literally the same number, like our number is the same every year for the past couple years, at least. But some of the hotels, they do what's called the Hotel Hunger Games, where and some of the main hotels do that. And those will be like, I believe, next month. You can enter the Hotel Hunger Games. And then there's always people in Facebook groups trying to unload their rooms. So there are, and then there are also other hotels that are very close to the area that are not host hotels that are just as agreeable to stay in, and they're close enough. So you can get, but you also got to realize that there are college football games going on that exact same weekend. So there are usually two college football games. So you've also got football fans trying to stay in the same area because the stadium's like a mile or two away. So just keep that in mind. So if you do want to go, also, if you get your membership now, they call them memberships. If you get your membership now, they are the cheapest that they ever will be. I believe on the 16th of September, they go up. Right now, it is $110 for all weekend. That is 5 days of Dragon Con. They go up to $120 after the September 16th. Then they go up to $130, $140, $150. And I believe it's $165 on the week of the convention. So you gotta get on it if you want to come next year. They're lining up some big names because it is the 40th anniversary of Dragon Con. Let's talk about the news, because something big did happen this week. Let's talk about Silksong. All right, we're gonna talk about Silksong. Now, have I played it? No. Have I played Hollow Knight? No, I haven't. So let's talk about the release of Silksong. And I wanted to mention this because this is something that I really kind of, I was like, huh, that's interesting. I should think about that a little bit more. But the internet died. We broke the internet. And Gadget reports that Hollow Knight Silksong is officially available for purchase after 6 long years of waiting. The anticipation is at a fever pitch. Fans swarmed to Steam to purchase the game, and it looks like they overloaded the system and shut it down. The same thing seems to be happening to the Nintendo eShop and the Xbox Store. Multiple social media users and data services like Down Detector are noting that the service is down for many people, with a massive spike in reports pretty much the moment Silksong came available. So, here's what I want to say about this. Pre-orders. We've been talking, like, we've always talked about, like, oh, you know, pre-orders, it's dumb to pre-order. Because pre-orders had a very distinct reason. There was a reason to pre-order things, and it was back in the old days when games were physical. And you would pre-order to register your interest so the store would actually have a copy to sell you. And obviously, that's not a problem with digital. The storefront's never going to run out. There's you know, it's going to just generate a key and give it to you when you give the money. So you don't need to pre-order. So I always said digital pre-orders were dumb. Physical pre-orders, I understood 100%, because if it's a physical thing, especially if it's a console or back in the day, Rock Band instruments, something that has a physical component that might be limited, pre-ordering makes a lot of sense. Now, I think we finally have the first case for digital pre-orders, because Silksong had no pre-order period. You could not pre-order Silksong. So, when you could buy Silksong, everybody was there trying to do it. Even PayPal was having issues, and that's like everybody's PayPal. Like, that's disrupting more than just video games. And I believe that had Silksong been available for pre-order at least 24 hours before the actual release, none of the downtime would have happened. Now, you individually might say, why would I do a pre-order? I would never pre-order it digitally, but other people that aren't you will. And if they go off and do the digital pre-order that you think is dumb, that means that you have a better chance of picking it up and not having to fight the Steam store as the first boss of Silksong. You would have benefited from the fact that there were pre-orders even if you personally didn't take advantage of it. Because the sad truth is that Visa and MasterCard and payment processors, and I understand we're not a fan of payment processors right now, but bear with me for a second. Payment processors can only handle so many transactions in a second. Now, it's an absurdly high number. It's definitely higher than anything on the blockchain, by the way. Bitcoin can only handle like a couple hundred transactions worldwide every second, which is why sometimes if you do Bitcoin or NFTs, it takes a while for the transaction to go through. Whereas you use a Visa card on a thing and it approves your transaction in 1 second, you know, boom, you're done. But like PayPal and Steam and whatever payment processors they're using can only handle so many at once. And normally they don't get the kind of traffic to need to have more than that. So digital pre-orders actually have a place in my mind now because it spreads out the transactions. It spreads out the payments. And so even if the majority don't pre-order it, enough people will pre-order it that it kind of evens out and it makes the experience better for everybody. So this is the first time I've ever had a case of, you know what, maybe digital pre-orders make sense. And not everybody's going to believe, going to agree with me, and that's fine. Silksong is on Game Pass, though. So if you have Game Pass Ultimate and you have curiosity about how hard it is, because that's what people are saying, is SJR Matt says, Silksong is beautiful, but damn, it's hard. Granted, I never played Hollow Knight, despite it being in my backlog on Steam. I was also waiting 6 to 12 hours for the store service to get sorted out, but I was just a dirty casual who played Silksong out of curiosity. I understand folks are serious about this game. So And apparently it's getting mixed reviews because the Chinese translation isn't all that great. And I wonder if that's a case for Steam limiting the reviews to reviews that are in your language, because I think people here are loving it, I believe. But not so much if you're looking at the Chinese translation. Now, there is some controversy, quote unquote, and it's not really big controversy, but this is something that's kind of interesting to point out. And it's from other developers. Now, a lot of indie developers, they moved a lot of their releases, and they're looking at Silksong because they don't want to compete with Silksong. Silksong is basically the Grand Theft Auto 6 of the indie game industry. But some developers are actually not liking the fact that it's only $20. That Silksong, this game that everybody's been hyping up and that everybody's loving and has all of this love and care and thought into it, is only $20 because that sets your expectation as a consumer. Eurogamer reports that some developers are saying that Hollow Knight Silksong is too cheap. Team Cherry announced the $20 price alongside the September 4th release date just a couple of weeks ago. But apparently some people are saying it's too little and too cheap. Scores of comments on social media say, quote, actually underpriced. Y'all are nuts for this at $20. And also, are you going to spawn a week of discourse with the price announcement? You know that, unquote. The reason they're saying that is because this is a $20 game. And if this is what consumers as a whole are going to say, well, that is what that is valued at $20. You're not going to want to pay $30 for a game that's less than Silksong, that has less content than Silksong, that has less value than Silksong. RJ Lake, who works as a composer in I Am Your Beast and is directing Rhythm Adventure Unbeatable, says, quote, Silksong honestly should cost $40, and I'm not even joking. I won't even go as far as to say it's bad, but it will have effects, and not all of those effects are good, unquote. So, RJ believes that Silksong's price will distort what players' views about a $20 indie game can be and perhaps should offer, which other indie teams can afford to take several years to make a game after all. Similarly, if they did take that long, which teams could afford to ask only $20 per release, would it cover all the work? Not everyone has the diamond-encrusted safety net that HoloNet provides. Team Cherry has four core team members. Two of them are the co-founders. It does use some contracted help, but it's a very small team, so they didn't need to spend that much money on things like salaries. So they could spend 7 years on the game, and they knew that they would sell $20, you know, it would sell well, so they could charge just $20 for it and make a lot of money. But now other indie games that are coming out are like, well, we were going to release our game at $25 or $30, but now we're afraid players aren't going to play it, pay that, because why pay $30 for your game when Silksong's $20? Why aren't you $20 like Silksong? And this was the same argument that was made when mobile games came out with The Race to the Bottom, where a game on mobile was 99 cents after we've been used to paying $50 or $60 for games. Now suddenly it's 99 cents, it's A Race to the Bottom. And not everybody is in as great of a position as Team Cherry is to be able to say, yeah, we probably could have charged $30 and made a lot of money, but we can make a lot of money at $20, so let's just do it. And Tireclaw says, I think people prefer the game costing cheaper. A lot of people will buy the game if it was a great low price. And that is absolutely true for the consumer standpoint. I mean, I would love it if every game was 99 cents, like big, small. Everything's 99 cents. That would be the best for my wallet. I would buy so many games if every single game that came out was 99 cents and not more. But the problem is, if a team of 20 people spent 5 years making a game, they can't charge $20 and recoup. They still lost money on it. Because you had to pay for 5 years of salaries and, you know, benefits and all that stuff. You can't, as a company, afford to only charge $20 for your game that your team of 10 took 4 years to build. Team Cherry could afford to charge $20 for a game that they spent 6 years building because there's less of them. And two of them are the co-founders, so they probably weren't even pulling that much of a salary anyway. And they were still writing the Hollow Knight sales, so they actually had that coming in. But like first time indie developers, their first game, they're not going to be able to afford that. And so while it sucks for while a low price is great for consumers, because obviously our first priority is us, developers can't afford to do that. Not every developer is going to be able to afford to only charge $20 for a game that you would feel as a consumer has less value than Silksong. As Sharon and Matt says, a pod culture drink, this is like when the players union doesn't like it when a star player takes a hometown discount. Questbuster says the Chinese translation is pretty awful from what I've read. Apparently the translator decided to write the dialogue as if it was in a Wuxia novel, making some preferring to switch to some people in China preferring to switch to the English dubs instead. So lots of stuff being talked about with Hollow Knight Silksong. People are playing it. People are loving it. People are not liking it. A lot of the comments that indie devs were saying were kind of made in jest a little bit. They weren't being completely serious, but it is something that like some major indie publishers are now looking at. They're like, well, crap, our game is not as feature rich as Silksong, and we want to charge $30 for it. Will consumers, like before Silksong, you probably would have looked at it as a consumer, but like, yeah, $30 is fair. Now you're going to be like, well, Silksong's 20. Why is yours 30? I'm not paying 30 for yours. If you want, it has to be immaculate for me to pay $30 because Silksong's $20 and immaculate. It is the eternal struggle of people wanting to pay the least amount possible for something, but then, you know, the people making it actually want to put food on the table and continue working on it. And that is capitalism right there for you. That's the bad thing about capitalism. We are going to take a very quick music break. And then we will be back to talk to OLR and see what they're going to be talking about tonight. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show and the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Wait, you don't know Kamoshida? Are you for real?
For real?
For real?
For real?
What up, everybody? This is Max Mittleman, voice of Saitama in One Punch Man, Ryuji in Persona 5, King in Seven Deadly Sins, and a whole host of other characters. You are participating in the Bobby Black Wolf Show. Get it!
For real?
For real.
For real?
For real?
For real?
I did not pull out my camera, my video camera, or the microphone all weekend. Like, I take it, and I actually, that's why you didn't see any B-roll of anything. Because I literally didn't pull it out. I had it with me. I even had a tripod. I had my microphone if I wanted to redo more bumpers for real. And I didn't. I literally did not. So, yeah. I mean, it's all. Like, even the arcade stuff. It's like, yeah, here's the arcade again. I showed it to you a couple years ago. It looks the same. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Also, after a two-week hiatus, is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them and see if the flight landed safely and all that stuff. Thankfully, no high scores were made in my basement, so that's all good. We're all in good terms, everything. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby, and it's, yeah, we barely had time to nerd out in the basement. You got to show our pal Arya Snark the basement, and she got to play, I think, a round of pinball and something on the machines and was just, you know, generally commenting what a nerd you are.
Yeah.
But it was good. Yeah, we didn't really get to explore Black Wolf Manor as much as usual. Just the con's busy.
Yeah.
The con is very busy, but in a good way, a great way.
Yeah, no, we had other things going, and then it was, you know, flights out the next day, and so but yeah, no, it was great. It was a great time, and I'm already looking forward to next year, which is we have to wait 366 days from the end of the last con because it's leap year. It is
one
leap
of the
year.
Longest waits. Yeah. Yeah, well, and the way the weekends play out with Labor Day was like on the first.
Yeah.
So like Dragon Con was the earliest it's ever going to be in a calendar year this last year. And now next year, I think it flips all the way back to like the 7th, 6th or 7th.
Yeah.
So
they call like the Dragon Con leap year. It happens every 6 years where it jumps like that. So
I got it.
Extra time for them to get people in for the 40th.
Right. It'll be worth the wait, but it is really funny how, like, for about 2 weeks, literally nothing is going to happen at a Dragon Con. None of the videos are going to come out. None of the pictures are going to come out. Because everybody, everybody's resting.
They're gone.
It's amazing I'm here doing a show tonight, and you too, quite frankly. But I love the shirt. I'm glad you're sorry for the podcast listeners who can't see the shirt, but I'm sure there's a picture on Bobby's socials. The shirt's a great look.
Yeah. No, I picked it up. I actually wore it to our little masquerade party. That's when I picked it up. It was that Sunday and it was the last one they had. They're like, yeah, we only have one left and it's this size. And I'm like, oh, funny enough, that's my size. And they're like, I'm like, can I give you money for it? And they're like, yes, we will take your money. And so
perfect. I think I saw that same vendor because I saw similar shirts, just not that shirt on Monday when I was there. I was one floor below all the AI kerfuffle you talked about at the top of the show. And I never saw any of that because I stopped at the third floor. Not that I always want to see Artist Alley, but just something came up and I got the thing I was meant, I was looking for one particular vendor because Alan, who didn't go this year, wanted something from a vendor there, was like, oh, I'll just order it online. And I was like, literally, why are you going to pay shipping and handling? I am here with the vet. Let me just go get it. So I went and got it. And then I left and I missed the whole AI kerfuffle until I checked social media later.
Well, if you want to see it, I will have this shirt next year because I'm not going to wear it again until next year's Dragon Con. So
I recycled a shirt already. One of my gold sparkly shirts. I hosted a show here in SAC last night and I wore it again because I was like, this shirt's too good for me to not wear more than once.
This shirt is only good at Dragon Con or things that understand Dragon Con.
I was going to say, I bet there's a lot of places in Atlanta in the nerd realm. You could wear that. You could wear that to trivia night. People would understand.
I could. People would understand. But I won't yet. Okay. I'm gonna let it breathe a little bit.
That's the fancy dress, special occasions only.
Yeah. This is for the next time I do a big panel at Dragon Con. I'm just gonna be wearing this instead,
All right, fair enough.
So the big news was real. The big thing that we're talking about here has been Silk Song, and
it's kind of been dead since the Gamescom. It's almost like creepy, kind of quiet right now. We have a few other things to talk about. There's some new things that have shown up on Nintendo Switch Online we can talk a little bit about. Microsoft is going to be rearranging some of their Game Pass tiers to do new things, so we do have some things to talk about a little bit. But
there was a Luminous demo while we were at Dragon Con.
I'm so mad about it. I'm so mad I miss it. Because Shane even told me the day before I left, you need to download that demo and play it. And I downloaded it, but do you think I played it? No, I was packing it. I didn't realize it. I was like, oh, I'll download it. I'll play it when I get back. I didn't realize it was a limited time demo.
Yeah.
It's done.
I actually played it instead of packing like the Tuesday night and I played it once. And then I was like, oh, I'll play it again. I got home and it's like, I click on it in Steam. They're like, oh, you have no license for this. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Must be nice to not have to fly.
Yeah. So, yes, it was. One day, I'm gonna have to repay the favor. One day, there's going to be something out there.
Just for those playing the home game, I think we counted, and between 12 Dragon Cons, 2 Southern Fried Gaming shows, and 1 wedding, I have now been to Atlanta 15 times. How many times has Bobby been to Sacramento? How many times has Bobby been to San Francisco, not because of work?
Once, but it was in the 90s. I was visiting a friend. But it's okay. Since you've known me.
One 30 years ago versus 15. All right.
Yeah. And technically, I've been to San Jose because I did a GDC in San Jose.
Was that when you and I first met?
Probably.
Scott Rubin?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah, because it was like 2007. And I think I went to a GDC in Moscone, so I was in San Francisco for that. But
okay. Because I remember the first time we met him I met him was in San Jose, but I probably just drove over for that. I wasn't at GDC that year. Yeah,
yeah, I was up at GDC.
Yeah. SSU 100 Matt says 15 trips get you a room named after you at the Manor, though. True. Have you told the listeners?
No, but my wife, we have a guest room that has like a full bed, and it's a nice bed, but it's our guest room, and my wife literally calls it Rob's room. It's actually Rob and Alan's room is sometimes what she calls it.
Yeah,
but But yeah, so it's literally called Rob's room, and we let other people, like, we let her parents sleep in it, too. But it's Rob's room.
I am now literally living in Black Wolf Manor rent-free. Mm-hmm.
And your sign that keeps you out of the arcade is still there. It's just not up on the wall right now.
I didn't realize it was hiding on the shelf somewhere, but you were ready to take that out and show Victoria.
I was ready.
You were so proud about that banning.
I was so proud.
Yeah.
So I think you've already mentioned the other stuff you're going to talk about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight, because it's kind of
Stay tuned. We got a classic game of the week pick and release dates and all the good stuff.
And you have your Dragon Con experience.
I do. I am going to talk about Dragon Con a little bit. Yeah.
You had the Baldur's Gate people.
I did. I had Baldur's Gate and I had the Lore Master from Blizzard Entertainment. Yeah. And that was, I would say, maybe only 20 people were in that room. Yeah. You were one of them, Loki. You're not Loki. You're not my real Loki. there were maybe 20 people in that room and you were there, Bobby, in that room. And that was such a, and I know you probably had a hard time following it because I know you don't play a lot of WoW, but that was like such a hardcore nerd conversation. I really loved it. And it was, I hate to be like, you had to be there. But like so many special moments of Dragon Con, you had to be there.
Yeah.
But I'll do my best to talk about it in a minute.
Yeah, and the thing that was really interesting on that is that he wants to talk about it. This is the part that I got out of it. He wants to nerd out about this, but social media doesn't want him to nerd out about it because they are very protective of their headcanon. And so when the lore master of Blizzard's like, well, no, actually, this is how it works. They're like, no, you don't get to say that. It's ours. Like, you know, so he used to have like a social media account that they had to shut down just because it was, the comments were getting too nasty. And he's like, I just want to like share how you're actually supposed to spell this orc's name. It's an apostrophe, not a dash.
Yeah. Literally, you're not even making that up. He literally talked about that. Yeah. This is so funny. But yeah, no, it was great nerding out with that guy for an hour. And I think the crowd that was there really enjoyed it. So the things you miss, not going to Dragon Con or focusing on one tiny little thing that happened on the fourth floor of a building and not realizing there's so much going on at Dragon Con in addition to that.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
All right. Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly, or you can join us on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. That is where we are throughout the week. You can also find me on social media, at BobbyBlackWolf.com on Blue Sky, or at BobbyBlackWolf on Instagram. I actually posted stuff on Instagram this week. Come follow me there. Maybe I haven't done anything on TikTok. I might actually be streaming on my personal Twitch channel pretty soon. So you can follow me at Bobby Blackwolf on Twitch. Probably going through more of UFO 50 because I haven't played more of UFO 50 since I last played it. I'm only through 20 of the 50 games. So we got some games to play. So, yeah. Thank you so much for being here. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. Thank you so much. Tiger Claw resubscribed. Thank you so much. I know, some people were clowning on, the phrase, I just resubscribed, but thank you. Like, seriously, literally, thank you. And S. Sharon or Matt cheered 300 bits saying, welcome back, Vogue. Well, thank you so much, Matt. It's great that y'all don't forget us after a week. That's always what I worry about. I also want to say, if you are trying to watch our Twitch channel, this is happening in chat right now, and you can't, Twitch, like today or yesterday, started implementing more harsh protections against browsers that have enhanced tracking protection. And so you need to like go back to standard tracking protection or something. It's a new thing. I think it sucks that Twitch is doing it, but that's the problem. Somebody's in chat having it, but I only knew how to tell you to fix it because other people on social media were complaining about it today, and it's literally a change they pushed, I think, yesterday to the code. So it's not just you. So if you're having trouble viewing Twitch streams and you're listening to this on podcast saying, I wish I could watch you on Twitch, but it wouldn't let me, it's your enhanced tracking protection in your browser. Turn that down. Let Big Brother look at you and your stuff, and we'll be fine. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and hit the button and get out of here so OLR can start, because they haven't been around for 2 weeks either, and y'all want OLR. So thank you so much for being here. Maybe I'll see you at Dragon Con in like 360-something days, or go play some Silk Song. I'll see you. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.